Dear listener, if you like this podcast, I want to tell you about something else you might enjoy as well. Every week, I host an online meetup. In each meeting, I give a presentation on some programming topic, or I bring a guest to the group for a discussion, or I do a code review on a member's code base, or I do some kind of consultation with one of our members. Coming to this meetup is kind of like listening to this podcast, except it's live and interactive, which means you get a chance to ask questions and participate in a conversation with other programmers like yourself. The meetup is also a fun place to meet some new friends. To learn more and to sign up, visit codewithjason.com/meetup. Now on to the episode. Hey, today I'm here with Simon Lee. Simon, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So you and I met, I think on, well, we met maybe on Twitter, and I had seen you around in the Ruby on Rails link Slack. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So I post there quite a lot, and I, you know, tag you a little bit, just because sometimes people are talking about testing, and I'm like, well, Jason Sweat thinks, you know. And I'm like, hey, can I get you to weigh in on this? But yeah, that's primarily where I knew you from, was I'd read your blog and learned how to do Rails testing from you.
Nice. And you're involved with organizing a Ruby meetup in Toronto where you live, right?
That's correct. Yes. So Toronto Ruby, we basically just started it. Today's recording date is what, the 28th? And we had our first meetup last Thursday. And there was a great turnout. Everybody was so excited to come out. And there's Ruby meetups. It feels like springing up back all over the place. And there's a lot of energy in the ecosystem. And so it was a great time for us to try and get something going. And lots of enthusiasm for it. So we're hoping to continue that in the new year.
Nice. Yeah. And just to timestamp this for you, dear listeners, is the 28th of November 2023 is when we're recording this. And you said you had like 30 or so, maybe a little more people come to the meetup last. And when did this happen? This was last month?
It was last Thursday, so the 23rd.
Got it.
Yeah. And we had, I only know that we had more than 30 people because earlier in the day, I went to, somebody had suggested, hey, you should get some name tags so that people like can write their name down, you know, and maybe their title or something. I thought, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to steal it. So I went down to the Staples to get some office supplies, you know, some pens and name tags. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to get a package of 30 name tags because, you know, that should be enough. I was expecting maybe 15, 20 people to show up. And, you know, Toronto surprised me, as I'm sure most organizers of Ruby events elsewhere we'll find there's a lot of demand right now for like in-person Ruby events. I feel like, you know, like Rails World sold out in what was it, like 40 minutes. So I think there's just a lot of enthusiasm, but yeah, I ran out of name tags. So that's how I know there was at least 30 people.
Yeah. You know, I don't remember if you and I talked about this last time we talked or if this was with somebody else, but 2024 is like the year of Midwest conferences, if you include Toronto in that region, because Rails World is happening in Toronto, RailsConf is happening in Detroit, and RubyConf is happening in Chicago. Yeah. So neither you nor I will have to travel very far to go to all three of those events.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the next year. I mean, my bank account, not so much, but we'll see when we get there. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, a little bit of a tour de force of this sort of Midwest area. That's
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I am really hoping to, we talked about this a little bit last time too. I'm really hoping to make it out to the Toronto meetup, the Toronto Ruby meetup. I don't know when, because, you know, I'm doing my Code with Jason world tour starting yes. actually starting tomorrow as we record this. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to head down to Chicago, and I'm going to meet with some people there. There actually is a Ruby meetup tomorrow evening in Chicago, so I'll really be interested to see what the turnout for that one is. And then next week, I'm going to Detroit, which, you know, for me, Chicago's like a 4-hour drive away, and then Detroit is like 2.5. And then I have a consulting client up in Madison, Wisconsin. Going to hit Madison at some point. And Matt Swanson and my friend Rob Zolkos and at least one other friend of mine all live in Indianapolis. So that's going to be one of my next destinations. So got to hit up Toronto too. It's just a matter of, gotta work also. And so I can't spend all my time traveling, but I hope to make it out there before long.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that you're starting the world tour. It was actually funny. I don't know if you remember, but that was actually why I first got in touch with you. Cause on Twitter you had posted, "Hey, where should I go on this world tour?" And I was like, "Come to Toronto." Oh, and then when you responded, "Oh, maybe I'll think about it." I was like sliding the DMs like, "Hey, you know, if you do come to Toronto, I happen to be hosting a Ruby meetup." So yeah, kind of full circle. That's really funny.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you did that because that makes it an easier sell to my wife, because it's like, if I just say, "Hey, can I or we go to Toronto just because," that's one thing. But then if there's like an actual business reason for me to go to Toronto, then it's like more justifiable. Okay. So, Simon, maybe we can talk a little bit also about what we talked when you and I talked off the air, just about your entree into programming.
Sure. Yeah. So I, you know, when we spoke, I was a little nervous, just because I think people are often surprised. Maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe this happens more often than I think, but in my experience, people are often surprised at how little time I've spent as a professional programmer. When I tell them, they're like, "Oh, really? Wow." So I don't know if that's like a me thing or if it's just like, it's a thing that doesn't happen very often to people. So that being said, anyway, that's why I'm nervous about it. But my story is I was working as an office manager for a Toronto real estate firm. We were doing marketing stuff, you know, doing renderings for pre-construction buildings, things like that. And then the pandemic hit and work kind of slowed down. So for me, I sort of dabbled back into Ruby a little bit because of that job. And I had a lot of time on my hands. So, you know, I was doing a little bit of scripting to automate some reporting for the job and things like that. And then a friend of mine came to visit and he said, "You know, if you've always had an interest in this stuff," you know, I told him I had studied a little bit of it throughout university, and I took a high school course doing Terrible Pascal, which I remember very fondly. He said, "You know, it's actually possible to get into the industry even though you don't have a degree." So the gears, you know, started churning in my head. And I ended up pursuing a self-taught curriculum, which is called the Odin Project. It's open source. It's free. It's a great resource. The community is really great as well. Lots of really fantastic working professionals there, helping lots of new people learn. But also just other learners are there so that you can kind of, you know, commiserate, or if you're struggling with something, then there's usually somebody there to help you, you know, walk you through the problem and sort of how you might approach a solution. And yeah, that took me about a year and a half. And then I finished the curriculum and I proceeded to start my job search, which at first was mostly just sending out resumes sort of cold. And truth be told, for folks that are sort of entering the job market in late 2022, 2023, you know, now, my personal view is that that method is not really effective. It really is just a waste of your time. You can have a great resume. You can have lots of really cool, interesting side projects. But, you know, at the end of the day, I do feel like that there's that kind of hump that you got to get over, where most recruiters are kind of looking for a years of experience type metric.
And where were you finding those places to send your resume out to?
That's a great question. A lot of it was just LinkedIn, Ruby on Remote, Indeed was also great. And then there's a really great platform, Otta, so OTTA.com. And they kind of grab your profile and then they'll curate job descriptions for you. That was a really great platform. But same kind of thing. It's just kind of companies post their stuff there and you say, oh, hey, I'm going to send them a resume. And, you know, I did get a couple interviews through that process. I think I ended up getting about 3 interviews from that. I got about 15 screenings. So they'd send me a little, you know, survey or like little code completion thing. And you just submit answers or do a little quiz or something. But my one, the thing that actually turned into a job, I got through networking. And so for me, that was like such a validation of all the trouble I went through, you know, teaching myself coding for 1.5 years, spending 6 months sending out PDF resumes. And, you know, at points it did feel kind of like, oh my God, I don't think this is ever going to happen for me. But I kept persistent. You know, one of my strategies was participating in the Slack. I think that, you know, participating organically in good faith, you know, trying to answer questions where you can or asking really great questions. I think that was something that really helped me in my journey. Actually, so I recently started a new job. I started that on the 20th. And the CTO actually is on that Slack. And he actually messaged me and said, hey, my company is hiring for a Toronto area mid-level developer. Are you interested? I'm really impressed with the way that you ask questions on the Slack. And, you know, I think that you'd be a great fit for the team. And so, of course, I said, yes, I'm interested. And that's kind of how that got started. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, something I tell people sometimes is that if you show up somewhere enough, you will be mistaken for an insider. or you will be mistaken for a member of the group, you know, however you want to put it. And obviously that's like kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of putting it, but it's like true, I think. It's like there, I've participated in programming meetups before where like somebody doesn't have a programming job yet, but they just keep coming to the meetups. And then eventually somehow they become a programmer because like, they've shown up so many times that people just like don't make a distinction between them and anybody else in the group. And somehow or another, they get a connection to the right place and they end up getting their first programming job.
I love it. I love that. And I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, for people that are looking for a job, I think they get so focused on the process of like, this is how you're supposed to do it. You know, you're supposed to get a resume together. You're supposed to write a cover letter. There's whole entire tools, AI or not, dedicated to like, hey, we'll take your resume. We'll, you know, what's your score? How does your resume, you know, parse and all that kind of stuff. You know, not to denigrate those tools are great if that's sort of where you're at in your career, you know, that a recruiter will pick your resume up and say, oh, this person seems like they might be a good fit. Let's interview them. But I think for specifically like early career devs or more junior level people, it can definitely, I think you can kind of skip that initial filtering function through networking, which I think is so powerful.
Yeah, that can definitely be true. I am not like a job search expert by any stretch or even particularly good at it. So I want to be careful about like saying you should do this or whatever. But I particularly, I've said before that like never in my life have I been very, very good at fitting into institutions and making it past gatekeepers and formal processes and stuff like that. And I have found the kind of going in through the side door method effective before. Like one particular story I'll share is I was in California for some reason. I don't even remember why. But I like reached out to a few people and I'm like, hey, I'm in San Francisco. Do you know anybody I should meet? I'm looking for some work right now. And it was like 4 p.m. and I got somebody's name from somebody else and I emailed the guy and I'm like, hey, I'm here in San Francisco. It's actually my last day here. Do you want to get together? And he's like, yeah, how about let's get together at 5? And I'm like, okay. So I just like immediately got on the train and headed toward, he was in like San Jose or something. And then we got together. We actually, for whatever reason, it was like six or seven when we finally ended up getting together, and we grabbed some drinks. It was me and him and a couple other people who worked there. And then I ended up working there, and the guy actually became a friend of mine, and I still talk to him today, like 5+ years later. So yeah, that kind of stuff can definitely work.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like that's kind of, you know, I've heard stories of people going to Rails World, RailsConf, that kind of thing, and they make similar connections, right? You go, you meet a bunch of people, you say, hey, I'm looking for work. They either they know or they're looking, you know, and next thing you know, you at least you have a way in to get started on the process of interviewing. And certainly, again, I think your caveat's really smart. I'm not an expert at finding a job. I think I have to get lucky, you know, put in the effort that I put in, which ended up turning into something. So, yeah, definitely grain of salt there.
Yeah. And that's kind of the approach I'm taking right now. So as of just a couple of weeks ago, I'm self-employed. I do consulting now. And I'm still figuring out like how to exactly convey to people what it is that I do. I've started to kind of use the word coaching, because when people hear me say consulting, they might think that means just like writing code and stuff like that. And I do that also, but I want to be clear that I offer like coaching services also. But it's like, there's no job board where people are like, hey, I'm looking for a software engineering coach. Like that's not a thing. So you have to use different methods. One is I talk about it on this podcast, so maybe people listening will reach out to me. And in fact, I think most of my current consulting clients are people who listen to the podcast before we started working together. But my approach now is I made a list of everybody I know, and I'm just going through the list and having calls with people. And step one, just letting them know what I do, because nobody's ever going to hire me if people aren't even aware that I'm doing this and they don't understand what it is that I do. So I'm doing that, and it hasn't led to any work yet. But again, I figure that's like step zero, is make people aware. And it's going to take time. Like, there's a very low chance that the exact moment in time I happen to catch people is like the time that they're going to know somebody who's looking for somebody. It may well be the case that I go through these calls and then it's like 2 or 3 years before one of those people comes back and they say, hey, I remember that you do this kind of coaching, whatever. Do you still do that? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's really smart. I think sort of maintaining a good impression on people, you know, I think that's really the name of the game. Because you're right. You know, you never know the timing that somebody else has in mind if they do want to engage you, for example. But if you are always constantly putting out there, hey, I'm doing this, hey, I'm doing this, then people kind of tend to remember.
Yeah. Yeah, at least I hope so. So I'm curious, when you got involved with running the Toronto Ruby meetup, what was your motivation for being involved in that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my motivation was, you know, when I was at the meetup, just as a sidebar, everybody kept coming up to me saying, thank you for organizing, thank you for organizing. And my line for the evening was, you know, I did it for me. You know, so to back to the question was, I was learning on my own. And Ruby is not difficult by any stretch of the imagination. It's a really lovely language, and it's very readable. You know, I mean, that's the whole Ruby is made for programmer happiness. But the one thing I was missing was that there was no in-person community that I could go and meet people that were into the same things that I was into locally. You know, there, I think there's a program called First Ruby Friends that kind of gets you a little bit there. I met a mentor through that program. They were based in the GTA, which is great. But that was kind of the thing that was missing for me, was like, oh man, I wish I had some like local friends that I could like just hang out with and like, you know, get some beers and just talk about nerdy stuff like Ruby. And so that was kind of percolating my head through the pandemic years. And then it just got to the point where I was like, you know what? I want to be the change in the world that I want. And so I decided to at least kind of get serious about it. You know, I bought the domain name. I took over the GitHub organization handle. And then I met George Gabbro, who also was based in Toronto, and he had an interest also in restarting the community. So we got together and he said, you know, if you're interested in doing this, let's do it. Let's do it together. And that's kind of how it came to be. So, you know, it's true that I did it for myself and it was really lovely to see people in person, and just like the conversations were lively. Everybody was like, you know, really interested in getting to know other people and learning new things. And, but yeah, that's kind of how I got involved, and I'm glad I did.
Nice. And what was the format of this meetup that happened last Thursday? Were there like a few speakers or something like that, or was it something different?
Yeah, so we had a little bit of social time up front, you know, as people were trickling in, things like that. And the sponsor of the event got us some pizza and drinks. And then we actually had a talk with Matt Eager, who's also on the RailsLink Slack. And he gave a talk on some Ruby internals and surprising results. And then we had a sort of bookend social time after that. So that was kind of the format. And I thought it was a really good format. So we'll probably keep on trying to do that, you know, stay really focused with maybe just one or two talks an evening. Because I think the point really is to provide a place for people to kind of hang out, get to make new friends, and you know, maybe pitch themselves if they're looking for work. And as always, you know, the sponsor of the space or the talk can always give a little blurb about their company, if they're hiring, things like that. So that's kind of the plan moving forward. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to do it. I've been to local meetups where there's like four speakers in a night, and it's like, that's just too much. And I don't think that's the main thing that people are necessarily there for. They're mainly there to meet people in the community and stuff like that. So I think that's great the way you're doing it. How do you plan the future ones? Do you plan it like multiple meetings in advance, or do you kind of plan the next one like when the current one is over? How do you do that part?
We're super indie right now. So currently I'm just planning for the next one, which will happen in January sometime. Just, you know, December is busy for everybody with the holidays and all that. So we figure we'll take a break. But the goal is to have one every month. You know, who knows? We maybe in the future we'll get to a place where we have so much interest from not only the attendee side, but also the sponsorship and hosting side, that I could possibly plan two or three at the same time. But currently just one at a time. But, you know, fingers crossed, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Shopify, if you're listening.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just curious about that. I used to organize a local meetup myself. I've done a couple of those in the past, and I've kind of experimented with different ways of doing it and stuff like that. I don't do that anymore because a blog, a book, a podcast, a conference, and a weekly online meetup is enough for me. Need to add local meetup into the mix on top of it. Yeah, okay. And by the way, I think I introduced you to somebody. It was so coincidental. I talked to you, and then I talked to somebody else I know who just happened to be in Toronto. And she was talking about, like, she didn't know that many people in Toronto because she just immigrated from Kenya maybe like 2 years ago or something like that. I'm like, oh, well, I should introduce her to Simon because they're both in Toronto. And you guys ended up talking, right?
Yeah, she actually came out to the meetup, and it was great to meet her in person.
Oh, nice.
And she, I think, actually just posted on LinkedIn a couple of days ago. She ended up getting a job.
Was it somebody she met at the meetup?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I didn't ask other than to say congrats.
Yeah.
But I did link her up with, I did link her up with a program that has been helpful to me, which is, I don't know if you know Dave Paola, but he's running
the Agency of Learning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's running this program called the Agency of Learning, and it's basically his community of early career devs plus mentors. And so basically me not so much, I've just been busy with my job, but I'm in the community. But basically the idea is, he takes early career devs and pairs them with other early career devs and mentors, and they work either on a Ruby for Good project or the internal app, which is Pear App, which is kind of how the the community functions in terms of scheduling pair times, doing you know, pair reviews and things like that. It's a really interesting program because for an early career dev, it's an excellent place to meet other people in your situation and also to make friends, you know, all over. It's primarily a Ruby on Rails based community. There's some Swift going on. Who knows, you know, I don't know what Dave would want to take it to, but, yeah, if anybody out there is kind of looking for a more specialized community, agency of learning would be a great place to start for sure.
Okay. Nice. And I'm curious for you, this is a little bit of a different topic. So you've been programming for how long now?
Professionally, I've been about 9 months in the business. So I started a job March 2023. My interest in programming goes way back to, oh gosh, probably like 2004 in high school. Yeah, that was when I was doing Turbo Pascal. And I had a bunch of friends and we all wrote little PHP, you know, servers. Just the classic, like if the parameter is home, load the home in, you know, template. And if it's the about, you know, did that kind of stuff for a little bit. And then in university, I did a couple of courses on Python and then Java. And Java totally kicked my butt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I can't make it as a programmer. I better just do something else. And so the interest sat on a shelf until 2021.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I understand a lot of people when they just get started with programming, they kind of feel like they've been thrown into the deep end. And so their main focus is just, okay, I got thrown into the deep end. I got to get swimming as fast as I can. I got to get to the point where I'm at least treading water instead of sinking. How are you feeling in that respect? Is that kind of how you'd characterize where you're at, or are you feeling pretty comfortable, or what do you think?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I'm feeling, let me put it this way. I'm feeling pretty comfortable in the stuff I know. But on the flip side, I think I'm aware of how much I don't know. Mm. And so in that sense, it's kind of feeling like a little bit treading water. But you know, it's one of those things that I think as a programmer in general, if you are not in a place of at least some slight discomfort, I feel like then you're not learning and growing. And that can, I think that signals that maybe you should, there might be some change in your future that you could make. I mean, for me, I think the one thing that's been really great about getting into this career is that all of the problems that you're solving every day, sometimes they're new, sometimes they're not, but sometimes you solve them in a different way, or, you know, the context is different enough that it's a somewhat more interesting problem than last time. And I think that's something that appeals to me a lot. And so I think for me, I don't know that I'll always want to pursue this idea of treading water. I think it'd be nice to be able to swim, but I think on some level, I think I'll always want to feel a little bit uncomfortable about where I'm at, so that I'm always looking for the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a healthy attitude. For me personally, I feel like comfortable and confident in my existing level of skill and stuff like that. But at the same time, the more I learn, the more I realize that I don't know. And it makes me very hungry for more knowledge, and I want to fill in what I see is the gaps in my knowledge and stuff like that. It's, you know, I try not to get too depressed by it, but like sometimes I look at all these really good programming books and I'm like, wow, like I would need like several more lifetimes to read all these books. And part of it is like realizing that you'll never know everything you want to know and being really judicious about how you choose to spend your learning budget, if you might put it that way. That's a tough one, because it's, you know, it's a little bit depressing to think about our finite lifespan and what we can cram into it. And it's like, man, realistically, how many technical books am I going to read each year? Like, honestly, maybe about one, like cover to cover, I might read one at most. And it's like, I'm almost 40. And if I work until 60, that means I'm going to read 20 more programming books ever in my entire life. So I better kind of choose carefully. But then sometimes I think like, well, maybe I'll just pretend that I'm going to live forever and I'm not going to worry about that. And I'm just going to read whatever I want. And that's a bit more fun. I don't know if one way of looking at it's better than the other, but I don't know, just some random thoughts.
That's actually so interesting to hear you say that you kind of feel the same way that I do. Because back when we initially talked, I had said, oh my gosh, like I'm fanboying right now a little bit because I read your testing book and I learned a lot from it. And it was funny because I expected a different answer or response from you. But your response was, oh my God, that book, I got to rewrite it.
Yeah. I'm like so embarrassed by that book now, because if I look back, you know, it was written in 2021. Now it's late 2023. And it's like my ability to teach the content and just like my level of knowledge is so much more than it was back then. And I don't want to like, I never like push this book anymore. I never like launch it like I used to, because quite frankly, I'm embarrassed by it. So I'm looking forward to getting a new version written and out there, but I'm working on a different book right now. So I got to finish that book and then this other book. Anyway, yeah, I guess that was kind of funny to hear that book that I'm glad to hear helped you was kind of, now it's embarrassing to me.
If you don't mind my asking, is there one thing in particular that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that? I'm sure your listeners would be very curious to know.
No, but if I had to say one thing, it's just the general formatting and quality of the whole thing. Like there are, like if I flip through it, because I actually have a physical copy of it. You can't buy it, but I have one single physical copy. If I flip through it, there's just like pages that just kind of seem to end in the middle of a thought. And then it's like, oh, that's the end of the chapter. Okay. Like stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even in, I hope to be in your position where you are now in a few years in my knowledge, you know, to look back and think to myself, holy smokes, like I could have done better. And I think that's the best that we can ask for as programmers, right? Like just to have, be able to have that feeling in the future when we look back at work we've done in the past.
Yeah. I read this thing this guy said once. It was like, if you don't look at your code from 6 months ago and feel appalled, then you're not learning fast enough or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, that seems about right.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's crazy how long that can continue. Like I've been programming on and off since the mid 90s, and solidly since 2005. And it's like, still, I look at code that I wrote just not that long ago. And I'm like, I can't believe how stupid I was 6 months ago.
That's a daily occurrence for me with code I wrote 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's good, because apparently that means you're learning rapidly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and are you going to any... Well, maybe you haven't planned this far, but we were talking a little bit about the conferences that are coming up. Do you have concrete plans to go to any of those or not yet?
I think I have concrete plans to attend the Toronto one because it's local.
Oh, yeah.
But I would love to attend one of the other ones. I don't know that I'll be able to save enough money to do all of them. So I don't know. Maybe people on Twitter can pitch me on which one I should go to. No, that seems mean. Cut that out.
Well, I'm not pitching you to go to this, but I should remind people who are listening to this that this exists. Sometimes I forget myself. The spring of 2024, I'm putting on my own conference called Sin City Ruby. Happens March 21st and 22nd, if I have the dates right. And that'll be a fun one. It's a small conference. I'm limiting ticket sales to 100. I've sold roughly half those tickets at this point. And speakers include, I'm going to the website. I remember the speakers, but I want to just read them off. Obi Fernandez, who wrote The Rails Way, which a lot of you guys probably are familiar with. Irina Nazarova, CEO of Evil Martians. Jason Charnes, who you might know from the Remote Ruby podcast. Vladimir Dementyev, also of Evil Martians. Tom Rossi, Ernesto Tagworker, Stephanie Brazil, Jeremy Smith, Andrew Atkinson, Adrian Marin, Lucian Ginda, and Drew Bragg. So pretty good lineup, I think. And we're going to have fun and games. There's going to be some arm wrestling. And people have told me, like, Jason, you shouldn't do arm wrestling at this conference. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm going to do arm wrestling. So we're going to do that. And my wife is going to arm wrestle people, too. So it's not like a toxic masculinity thing or something like that, because my wife is going to arm wrestle, and I bet she'll beat some of the guys there. I would put money on it. Anyway, there's going to be other games and prizes too. So Sin City Ruby, SinCityRuby.com, dear listener, check it out.
That lineup is great. Wow, I knew that you organized it. I just didn't think about it, so I'm sorry about that. But I want to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's funny? I don't know if you've heard about this DevTernity controversy that's been going around Twitter recently, and obviously we don't need to get into the water why or any of that. But long story short, there was some alleged potential shady business going on with DevTernity, and I was wondering today, because I saw like a number of speakers have pulled out and stuff like that. And I went to devternity.com and you just get a completely blank white screen right now if you go to devternity.com. And I'm like, is this thing still happening or did they cancel it? And no, it's canceled. It's just not happening at all. And so I'm like, I don't have a job. This conference does happen in the future. It's supposed to happen December 7th and 8th or something like that. It's November 28th. It's supposed to happen in Riga, Latvia. And I'm like, the wheels started turning. I'm like, can I put on my own conference in Riga the exact dates that DevTernity was supposed to happen and just siphon all this off? Because, like, I'm sure people have, like, you know, it's only a week away. People have surely made their travel arrangements, including speakers. This has to be like a really weird situation for a lot of people.
Yeah, that whole situation is kind of weird and interesting, but that's, I wonder if you could pull off a conference in about a week. That'd be impressive to say the least.
Yeah.
Maybe you could take over all their bookings. Cause like you're saying, I mean, if it was happening so soon, they must've had like location bookings. Even if people are pulling out, they would have to put deposits.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. Yeah. And it's like, hey, instead of giving everybody a refund, just give me all the money. I'll take over your venue booking. I don't know if that would work. Because I'd have to, like, I'd have, like, an adversarial relationship with the original organizer. Mm-hmm. And I obviously could not, like, make an association with the original organizer, because then, like, people wouldn't want to come, because that's the whole reason people pulled out in the first place. And I am, for the record, I'm not going to do it, because that's that's crazy. But it's a fun thing to think about. Like, if I wanted to, could I do that? It's physically possible. I could get on a plane and get to Latvia in time. But yeah, not going
to
do it.
You might have to enlist Amanda's help from Rails Foundation.
Yeah. Who
really
knows?
Good job on short notice.
Who knows if people would want to get involved with all that stuff. And I've learned, you know, the past me, like, I would, like, sometimes comment on Twitter on these things and stuff like that. And I've learned that there's just no upside to that at all. It's all, you expose yourself to negative things and there's no benefit. So when I see controversies like this, I just, I grab my bag of popcorn and I observe and I just quietly observe and don't get involved myself.
It's smart. It's the smart thing to do. I just think sometimes you can also inadvertently get sucked into things like this. if you like comment, you know, mm-hmm. or people assume certain things if you, you know,
but on podcasts you can get away with a lot more because you can't retweet a podcast episode, and so I'm a lot more freewheeling with my vocalizations on this show. Aside from all that, go to Sin City Ruby. Don't go to Latvia next week because I'm not going to be there and nobody else will either, as far as I know. Do go to Toronto, check out the Toronto Ruby meetup. There's a page on meetup.com, right, Simon?
So yes, but it's not one that we control. So I actually tried to get that page so that I could use it. But the admins have kind of gone AWOL. I don't know. I tried to reach out to them through the Google group, but I think I got blocked because I'm too new of a user and hasn't been active since 2014. So anyway, I registered a site, and we have a sign up there for a mailing list that people can check out at toronto-ruby.com. And I'm on Twitter, tweeting under that handle, Toronto_Ruby. And you can also, I'll give you all this information. You can put it in the show notes or something.
Yeah, nice. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes. And dear listener, if you're within travel distance to Toronto, I recommend checking out Simon's meetup. And Simon, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.